Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Time once again for the Luke and the Pete Show. Welcome, one and all, Romans, countrymen, countrywomen, country animals, country farmside animals. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr. Luke Moore. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now.
You're right.
Yeah.
Doing okay?
It's I got up extra early because I thought it was going to be a real pain in the us to get into work, into the office, because of the common or garden rail replacement nonsenses. Yeah. But it turns out I had free run at my 7 train, got into work about 8:30, and then the rambling start till like 10 o'clock. So,
and that's the thing about it. People will criticise you, Donaldson, for a number of different reasons, and they will not respect the fact that Easter Monday for you, you respect the mad hippie, the most impactful of all the hippies, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but you will also graft and work away when it warrants it, and you deserve respect for that.
I don't think, and Kate Mason actually talked about this on before the show today, parents don't understand. Parents don't understand what freelancing is. So that they think that you get like Christmas off, and you think you get like bank holidays off, and you're going to be planning an extravagant Easter weekend because that everybody else has a lot of time off. But freelancers, and increasingly everyone, because of the availability of working from home and working from your mobile phone, nobody really gets any time off. I think they just need to move with the times, the old parents.
Yeah. What have they ever done for us? That's what I want to know.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What have you done? Write out your willy. Then I'm here. Right, yeah. I'm here. I was running around my garage, the man cave.
How big is it? It makes you sound like you're doing laps of it.
Well,
for charity.
Not big enough, clearly, because I've jabbed myself in the bottom left hand, in the bottom right calf of my leg. I've jabbed myself, and it hurts when I poke it. So I really should stop poking it. But since I have had my vaccine jab, I am kind of a little worried there might be a blood clot.
Oh, no. Nah, you'll be fine. You'll be okay.
That's exactly where the clots are, though. That's exactly where it kind of, like, gathers in the back of the leg. Nightmare.
Crucially, a calf is on the back of the leg, so you were running backwards around the garage, were you?
Yeah, I was I was trying to avoid a spider.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And also, Pete, as a business owner, you don't get a chance to have time off because you've always got to be there if people need you. So
always
it's just part
be
of it.
Available.
Yeah.
Always got to be available and ready. Got my tape measure out.
Yeah. You have actually. That's amazing. You've pulled out a tape measure from off camera and just started playing with it. That's amazing. Why have you got a tape measure?
How
it makes
wide,
me nervous.
From my face, how wide can you see? You can see 3 feet.
Yeah.
3 feet wide.
And it's annoying to me because as a co-business owner in the same business, I thought I hid all the tape measures from you. So that's disappointing. Because nothing good happens when your tape measure comes out.
No, start tweeting about how big things are. Right. Yes, it's the Luke and Pete Show and we're back again. What I like about this kind of little running order we've sort of put together, there are sort of news stories that we never get to usually. There are news stories that kind of week to week, we get on things that we're interested in and some of the stories that have been there for months never get mentioned. I don't even want to get into it, but I would like to just sort of everyone. I just want everyone to know that the title "Florida Man Masturbating with Pickle" has been on the running order for about 2 months now.
And I wish Nat would take the hint. I wish you would produce and Nat would take the hint because she put it on there because she did. She's a pro and she probably did a load of research and due diligence when she knew she was going to come and start producing this show. And she probably listened through and thought they talk about Florida men doing mad things quite a lot. So I'm going to find one of the stories. That story is horrific. It is a approach with caution if you are listening with young children in the car or wherever you are. Bear in mind what I'm about to say is not suitable for children. There is a story of a man from Florida who was caught in public masturbating while putting a pickle / gherkin up his bot, right?
Yeah. Now, in private property as well. The actual,
I thought it was public. It was private property, was it? I thought it was in public.
The actual title makes me laugh because it says, Florida man arrested for masturbating with pickle on private property.
Oh.
Now, the private property presumably means his bum because he puts the pickle up his bum and he's jerking off and like just an amazing...
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether it's one of those big pickles you buy in like bodegas.
Chip shops.
And rest. Yeah, I mean, I presume it's those because you can buy like single ones that have like different. You can buy
Ones
that are hot and spicy. I remember getting all
it's
kinds
of. It's not a cornichon, otherwise, it's not worthy of a story, is it?
No, exactly. You're right.
My biggest problem. I mean, we've actually, Natalie's ultimately won because we've talked about it now.
Yeah.
But my biggest issue with it is that I am a huge avoider of pickles/ gherkins, as our Colombian colleague at Stack calls them, Andrea calls them, the gringo's jalapeno. So, which I agree with because I love a jalapeno. Give me a pickled jalapeno all day long. I'm not touching a pickle or a gherkin.
Why is that? Is it because they're just too like girthy or solid? Or because jalapenos, they're quite soft and kind of yielding, aren't they? Have you got soft teeth? What's going on?
No, it's nothing to do with that. I think it's just that I don't particularly like cucumbers either. It just tastes of dirty water to me. I mean, listen, there's nothing offensive about a cucumber. I'll eat it, but it's
what you do with it, isn't it?
Yeah, it
as Florida man can attest to.
Can I just distance myself from what I do with pickles and cucumbers compared to the man that spawned this discussion? But I don't know, I just never really got into them. I think when I was a kid, I told you before, Pete, my dad got my dad's position got made redundant from his work, and they had loads of money. And like an uncharacteristically mad move, they took us all to Florida rather than saying, this is a lot of money, we need to keep this until you get another job. They just went to Florida and spent it, and I went with them. And I was about 11, and I'd never seen a pickle before. And of course, over there, they serve them up with burgers. And I got stuck into one. I don't think I liked it. And I think my 11-year-old palate was like, no thanks. And I've never really kind of recovered from that early blow.
It's interesting. I think the only thing that's ever kind of knocked me for six and it's like kind of like put me off for life, but even then, not even life, I used to bloody love dried bananas, dried banana chips.
Oh,
and
then
I
think they're really calorific, you know.
Oh, I bet they are, massively. Yeah. I sort of just went off them one day and just never went back to them. And I don't find them offensive. Like, the dogs have them wrapped in chicken. You can buy these little banana chips wrapped in chicken, which they seem to very much enjoy, and I've had a nibble of one. And, I don't think they're particularly offensive in the slightest, though my girlfriend has a few of these. And one of them is, one of my partners is cream eggs, because her brother told her that there was bird poo in the cream. and she's never been able to eat them. And so I forget, and I always buy like a cream egg, and then I end up having to eat two cream eggs. I think something in my brain goes, you're going to get an extra cream egg out of this.
Yes, 100%.
Like you're a good guy.
Do it. And when you get to, and that's an interesting story about both the partner and the dogs you have access to there. Mm. And for those who are new to this show and want to know a little bit more about you and I think I can best sum you up, Pete, by saying that there's absolutely zero chance that the two dogs you've got access to have had any food that you haven't also tried just a little bit of. That's the kind of man you are.
Well, yeah, but also I cooked Buckley a little steak over the weekend. A couple of steaks, in fact, over the
bloody
weekend.
Bloody hell! Wagyu.
We shared one each. When I cooked Wagyu, I gave him a little bit. Yeah.
Oh my God!
He's having a lovely time, his bucko. And I gave him a haircut over the weekend. That was a
people are losing their jobs out there. You can't talk about giving Wagyu steak to your dog.
I thought he's never going to have that good steak again, is he? So give him it.
But he never knew it existed. He's a dog. He never had to worry about it.
He probably lost his goddamn mind, didn't he? He lost his doggy mind.
I bet he just ate it really quickly, the same as he eats every other food, and it wasn't even commented on because he's a dog.
Yeah, my mate. When I went to Japan with my mate, he demanded American mustard to put on his Wagyu steak. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Al, what are you playing at?
That's is that Little Al?
Little Al.
The man is so problematic on this kind of stuff.
He really is. He's terrible.
Peter, I on the old cream egg thing, and I understand that because it can affect you psychologically when you're a kid. So remember I told you before, that was the same holiday when I chomped into what I thought was a grape on the plane over and it was an olive. And I've never been able to eat olives since, right? But one of the things that's kind of fascinating about that, about like the food habits. So you said there, right, you know subconsciously that your partner isn't going to eat the other cream egg and you're going to get it, right?
Mm.
Now, I at the age of 40, when I go to the supermarket, if I'm hungry, I will buy a load of stuff that I know I don't need and it is way too much for me to be eating. But I'll still do it. And it's almost, it's fascinating. The real, get on to the point of the reason why it's fascinating. Because if you go into work and you take one journey into work and it's a shitty journey into work, you're probably going to go, right, I'll think of another journey. And you'll learn and you'll adapt as you go. But for some reason, I still make decisions around food that I made when I was like 12.
Do you though? I mean, like, surely your palate's gone on since then, surely.
I like loads more foods than I liked when I was young. I'm much less fussy now. But what I'm saying is, I know, for example, I don't need to eat an entire Yorkie Easter egg, right? I'm not getting anything more out of it, right? No. If I eat half the Easter egg, that's probably fine. That's probably one of the recommended portion sizes. I'm in front of the telly. I've got a cup of tea. I love half an Easter egg, but I just keep eating the whole thing. And I know it's going to make me feel shitty the next day, but I still do it. I don't learn. And in other aspects of my life, I like to think I do learn. So I think food's got a really weird hold on a lot of us. I haven't quite extended to the point now where I'm going back to the source of this conversation and putting different vegetables in my anus. But, I mean, that may come. I don't know.
Yeah. Didn't you sort of... haven't you on your phone got like a timer that's just for oven chips?
Yeah. This is the thing, right? So I'm busy a lot at the moment with work and with other stuff and... It comes to, and it's obviously everything's a lot more difficult to do these days for obvious reasons. So sometimes it's not, a lot of the time actually, it's not rare for me to look up from my computer and it'd be like 7:30. And it's like, I haven't got anything sorted for dinner. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go cook for an hour. And so I just grab oven fries out of the freezer and put them in the oven and obviously then eat them. And, the thing you're referring to is one of the most depressing things that's happened to me in recent years when I got a little reminder pop-up saying, would you like to set a timer for 16 minutes? Basically saying, all you do is set a timer for 16 minutes every night to eat oven chips. Do you want to do it again now? No, I don't actually. I'm having chicken and rice tonight. Thank you very much, phone.
Look, at least you actually set a timer and you don't just let everything burn. Trying to cook plumbing hot cross buns in the toaster. Nightmare. Never try it. Rubbish.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Big Pav, you know Big Pav, I talk about a lot. I can remember when I used to play FIFA with him quite a bit during the first lockdown in the evening, so there was nothing else to do. He got this thing on his phone, which his wife made him put on to stop him working late, that at 10 p.m, all his apps just instantly close. So at 10 p.m, every time, everything would just turn off.
Oh, nice.
And then he'd call me back at like 2 minutes later and go, oh, sorry about that. my phone thing. I was like, just turn it off. He's like, I can't, my wife won't let me. Anyway, so what else has been going on, Peter? How have you been marking and celebrating Easter, the holiest of all the Christian holidays?
Just had a wander around. Didn't have any eggs myself, but yeah, just had a wander around. Watched the TV show Your Honour. Is it Your Honour?
I've heard good things.
Yes, all right. Oh, it's basically Breaking Bad again, isn't it? Man with a tidy job and a nice life, something happens, and then he's got to fucking, you know, become a criminal.
The whole point of Breaking Bad is that he didn't have a nice life.
Well, no, he was having a nice life. He hated it. He had a comfortable life. He only found himself hating it when he found something more interesting and sexy to do. But it's all kind of like dad wish fulfillment bollocks, isn't it?
I think you've missed the entire point of Breaking Bad. What's your favourite TV show of all time? Because in my mind, you hate every TV show. So what's your favourite?
Mad Men.
Okay, fine. So how would you rate, if Mad Men's 10 and, I don't know, something you hate is 1, how would you rate Your Honour?
It's a two. It's fine. A two? It's watchable. Yeah, it's fine. It's watchable. But it's just... The boy, it's got what's his name, who goes shit in The Wire.
Oh, Clay Davis, lovely.
Clay Davis, it's got Clay Davis in it. He never says shit. I mean, I'm on the last two episodes, so hopefully he'll at the end go shit.
Well, he tweets it every day, so you want to get him to say it, you can see it on Twitter. Yeah.
Is he a West Brom fan or like a Chelsea fan?
I don't know. That's so weird you said that to me. I have no idea. I have no idea that I don't know why you tweeted about West Brom winning at Stamford Bridge or whatever it was. They're weird. But I have no idea, I'm afraid. But so you watched Your Honour.
I watched Your Honour. I don't like the fact that the kid in it is just incredibly ungrateful when his dad is just trying to do his best and the kid is just trying to derail his dad's fucking plan at every fucking stage. There's a man from Boardwalk Empire that I quite like in it. That's all I got for you, Luke, to be honest.
It's unlikely you'll spoiler because your interpretations are so surreal and abstract. Yeah. This actually adds quite a lot to it. Like, do you remember I had a meltdown at you because you tried to spoil a Game of Thrones?
I didn't try to. I didn't give you anything, but you just got upset because you are what can only be described as a big dragon boy.
I am a big dragon boy. Sometimes when Game of Thrones is on TV, just a random episode on Sky Atlantic, because let's be honest, we're paying through the nose for that, and they're filling the schedule, aren't they? You basically pay a lot of money for Sky Atlantic, and what you get is maybe a couple of showpiece series that go out at 9 p.m. two nights a week. The rest, just Game of Thrones over and over again. And sometimes when there's an episode on, I will watch it. And also, there's an absolutely massive... and I mean four times the budget of Game of Thrones, Amazon Prime Lord of the Rings series coming, isn't there?
Yes, apparently so. I always get confused. Why are they bringing that back? Is Jackson involved?
Because in the words of Alan Partridge, people like them. Let's make some more of them. Yeah. I don't know if Peter Jackson's involved. I've not looked into it. I know that this is a bit of a... bit of a link for you. I know that Joel Emery, who's one of the geniuses behind The Offensive and an upcoming new Stack series sometime soon, is a huge Lord of the Rings fan, and he was telling me about it, and that's how I know about it.
I see. Yeah, well, that'll be exciting, won't it? Witcher 2's just finished. Not watched a single lick of it, but...
Oh, is Witcher 2 out now, is it?
Witcher 2...
It's not out yet.
No, it's not out. No, it's not out yet. They've just wrapped, so I just saw Mr. Handsome Superman sort of saying, I'm finished. Finished now.
I mean, he looks... I mean, I've seen the first season of The Witcher. I enjoyed it. He looks fucking obscene. He's just the most obscene-looking man. He looks like he's hewn out of granite. Yeah. Like he was quarried, not born. And he is just so handsome. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Very good-looking man.
It's too good-looking. I think, you know, I've got a working theory that if some people are too good-looking, male or female, in TV shows, it takes you out of it.
Yeah, I would say that. And you can't, like, and in real life, you can't have a meeting with them because you can't look directly at them.
Well, we can't get near them, can we?
No, they don't want to take meetings with us.
But you wouldn't have, like, for example, I don't know if this has happened, but if, what's his name, the geezer who plays The Witcher?
Cavill, Henry Cavill.
Henry
how
Cavill,
are you
yeah.
ever asking me? I know, for a name that's, of
I've
a
let
man.
Myself down
Good
there.
God.
But if he played a role where he was, I don't know, like a postman, it would be ridiculous. He has to play mythical beings. Basically, he has to play mythical beings. He's just too handsome.
Well, somebody made the point. It's that there's a woman on Twitter. It's Sydney Battle, I want to say, maybe. She's fucking funny. Famously, her sort of viral hit was that she was off her head on some kind of drugs because she'd had an elbow operation, and she made her dad film her while she just reviewed the ditches of her town, and she would just go, "This is my favourite ditch," and just like talking about the ditch for ages. She was so wazzed out of it. It was so funny. And she was saying that everyone in Los Angeles who is beautiful and really good looking is like entertainment adjacent. They either work in film or they know people who work in film.
Okay.
And but in New York, you can get like really good looking UPS drivers.
I see what you mean. I know what you mean. I think the standard of attractiveness in the US is a lot higher. Like, it's lot higher.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And I think, and you can see that, by the way, that in TV shows and movies, they will just put a pair of glasses on an amazingly attractive person and the plot will be they're not very good looking. It's like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. And as soon as they take up in the final act of the movie, when they take the glasses off and they look amazing, you're supposed to believe that they weren't amazing in the first place because I guess they're such perfectionists.
It's a well-worn trope.
It is. Let's have a break. And when we come back, we'll do some emails. And I might just ask you quickly about your opinion on April Fool's Day, because I've got one of my own. But anyway, stick around. Come back to us in a minute. We'll just do these quick ads and then we'll be back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week at Sukarnov.
Over on Clash of the Titles, the gang are counting down to the Oscars with a special month of Best Picture clashes.
Rocky won the Oscar that year. Do you guys think it was a deserving winner that year, or do you think something else should have won?
I think Taxi Driver should have won.
I am with you, Vicky. My heart says Rocky. Rocky's one of my favourite films of all time. I don't like watching Taxi Driver, but it is.
No.
It is.
That's true.
It is amazing.
And that's so true. No one's ever like, oh, do you want a Bosch Taxi Driver?
Or if that doesn't tickle your fancy, and why wouldn't it, check out the Book Club on Football Ramble Presents, where former footballer Ricky Hill discusses the highs and lows of his storied career.
My schoolmaster came in afterwards and said, oh, you know, you've been invited, three of you have been invited for trials up at Luton. And I initially, my thoughts were, where is Luton? I had no idea. and I said, well, I'm not going.
All that and a whole lot more. Sukarnov.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Luke Moore. And as we hurl towards the end of the Monday show, we've got some emails to go through. But also, Luke wants to talk about April Fools, I hear.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a good April Fools trick.
No, I remember one on Going Live. Phil had this little box, this tiny little box about the size of an SD card.
What year?
These days. Would have been 90s. And he said that when you, it had like a one to five on the front of the box.
Yeah.
When you pressed number five, you get the, it would play with a little speaker inside. The whatever was at number five in the charts that week, and then number four, and then the one at the top of the hit parade, as they used to call it back in the day, when they pressed number one. And he basically invented the iPod.
I stand corrected. That's incredible. And it happened.
Yeah, it really
Phil
sort of
Schofield.
Sticks in my mind that. I remember thinking, that is amazing. And they would make you ring up to try and like win it. And I rang up to see if I could win it. And I don't think they like disavowed me of the notion that it existed. So they got my money that day, going live.
Phil Schofield should sue the estate of Steve Jobs.
He should, yeah, because he invented it in the 90s.
What would you do, Pete, if you found out later that actually Steve Jobs worked as a researcher on Going Live and that's when he had his first idea?
He had his idea. Well, look, it wouldn't surprise me because, you know, Pip Schofield, he knows what he's doing when it comes to light entertainment.
Oh, big time. The man, listen, you can do nothing but respect the longevity of the man's record.
Oh, it's incredible. He had like, was it Snapchat or Instagram stories? He'd just get pissed and just start dicking about in his house. And I've spoken about it before, but like him in his loft, trying to figure, there was an alarm going off, like a little beep, 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 like a low battery alarm. And he couldn't sort of figure out what alarm was going off in his massive country pile.
Yeah.
And so he just went upstairs, pissed, with a hammer, filming all the way, just smashing up little boxes on the wall of his barn. And he's just hitting these machines until they stopped squeaking. Nobody knew. He didn't know what it was for. It could have been like an alarm for some kind of radon gas or something. But yeah, no, he was bashing it with a hammer and pissed.
I think because people have so little understanding of it, and because you don't really think about it much, and why would you? Because most people are normal. It's you don't fully appreciate how difficult it is to be that good on TV for that long.
Mm. Yeah,
and to do it for like 30 years is incredible.
Yeah,
longer probably.
Yeah. Incredible.
And also the one thing that I always get impressed with people like him is that so getting on the TV and doing your bit while the cameras are on you and everyone's running around is hard enough as it is, and you and I have both had a very small flavour of that, and it is hard. But to make it look so natural, to make it look like you're actually just having a conversation with someone who's come around to your living room and have a cup of tea, which is what they do, though, the top level pros, is astonishingly hard. Like, I think it's just made to look really easy, so people just don't think much of it. But it's not. It's almost a bit like snooker. Like, you watch snooker on TV and you go, yeah, they're good. And you go and see an actual full-size snooker table and you are like, fuck me, this is the size of my flat. And it automatically seems much harder. But anyway, shout out to Phil Schofield. Absolute legend in the game. Let's do some emails. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. That's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. We are also on Instagram and Twitter @lukeandpeteshow. If you want to send an email in about anything you've heard on the show recently, or any ideas you've had, or anything you'd quite like us to talk about in the near or far future, Please do so. And someone who's done that is our friend Catherine. Catherine has enclosed a photo of this as well, which immediately caught my eye. And she says the following. Hi, Luke and Pete. Catherine here from Massachusetts. And I was just writing in because I was recently at my local grocery store and saw the picture attached below. Sunny D, formerly known as Sunny Delight, in three different flavours that not only no one asked for, but to my knowledge, that no one drinks anymore. I've honestly not seen Sunny D in any other store since I was in elementary school, and I'm 25 now, so that was a while ago. I was walking past the bread aisle and I saw this massive display. I had to make backtrack to make sure the year 2021 was correct, and I haven't time travelled back to 2003. I immediately captured the display to send in to you guys. Do you, either of you, know another single human being who still buys or drinks Sunny D? How is this brand still in business after all these years? Mind you, they only cost a dollar, so perhaps that's got something to do with it. Anyway, let me know. Thank you for the great laughs every week. My mum and I both love this podcast. Keep up the good work, Catherine. Now, that final sentence is key because Catherine says, my mum and I love the show, which is really sweet, right? And stopped me and made me rewrite my notes around this email where I was going to call Catherine a masshole, which is what people call, other people call people from Massachusetts, a masshole. So, Catherine, I was going to call you a masshole, but because you've very sweetly listened with your mother, I'm not going to do that.
You're a mamhole instead. I like the fact that there's so many different flavours of Sunny D. There's a green one that looks very unappetizing, a red one that looks like blood, and the orange classic. I could probably drink that. I could probably see myself slurping down a bit of the orange classic, but that is... The other two look incredible.
Do you know what it looks like, Pete? It looks like a display you would see beautifully rendered in a futuristic dystopian video game for the PS5.
Mass Effect. Mass Effect 5.
Yeah, it does look like that. So thank you very much, Catherine, for sending that in, though. Much appreciated. Peter, have you got an email there for us?
Delicious. Yes, I have. I want to talk about medieval memes. There's been a couple of emails from pirates, but we'll get to those later on. A medieval meme has entered the frame. Hello to the Luke and the Pete. This is from Jay, long-time listener, first-time emailer, and all that nonsense. And that's what we like to hear, new people, and all people
too. Yes, you're welcome.
I was sitting in my Zoom lecture looking through an article when I came across the story that set off the Luke and Pete alarm in my head. It is a story about a recent discovery of a medieval meme. The meme here is a piece of metal depicting a man stepping out of a snail shell that is resting atop a goat.
Wow.
Quite the image. Little snail on top of a goat, little medieval man coming out of it. According to the article, it has something to do with making fun of non-chivalrous acts of knights at the time. I hope that you lads find this interesting, or at least get a chuckle out of you as well. Apparently, there was a big knight clambering out of a snail shell atop a goat meme sensation back in the day. It looks like a little brooch, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. One thing I am impressed by, because I've clicked on the article that Jay shared alongside, and it says the piece is dated from about 1200 AD. It's a knight wearing a helmet with a long sleeve tunic, and he's got one leg lunging forward, suggesting he's stepping out of the shell, and his hands are pressed together as if in prayer. Now, what I'm most impressed by is the way they're able to interpret it. Because to me, that could be anything. That, to me, looks like a bloke sat on a goat with a shell-like seat, and he's riding it somewhere.
Oh, it's like a really ornate kind of like sort of chariot seat. Yeah,
it could be anything, in my opinion.
It needs a little bit more. It's a sort of meme that I would create, get no hits on Twitter at all, and then I'll just be blaming Twitter for being shit, full of arseholes that want some Route 1 stuff.
Oh, there was definitely a kind of undercurrent peak to your work where it's too clever for the mass public.
It's not too clever. It's just too
too niche, too weird.
Too niche. I've been on forums for too long. It would work possibly in a forum where there's only five people on there and they all get the joke. But on Twitter, there's just nobody. And I'm just like, what's the point of this place? Awful.
I mean, you are a man, Pete, who has been regularly conducting completely unasked for, on a completely voluntary basis, meme dumps in groups that I'm a part of for probably 10 years plus.
Yeah.
But you very rarely hit pay dirt with your own memes.
Oh, yeah. I'm a great I'm a great meme counsellor. I'm a great meme memetist, but I can't create.
You could have been big
own.
On Vine, I reckon.
It's difficult. It's difficult, isn't it? It's very, very difficult. I always say that if I was ever going to make an NFT, non fungible or fungible token piece of art, it would very much be the time that I staged myself falling off a chair at Absolute Radio, which is literally the best thing I've ever done.
But the thing about you, I mean, we should share this as well, so people who haven't seen it can have a look. The thing I like about that little Vine you did, but there's nothing to stop you transposing your great Vine work across to Instagram Reels, by the way, for instance.
Right, okay.
So you can have a think about that. The best thing about that piece of work you're talking about there is it genuinely looks real.
Yeah. Well, so I came to work and I noticed that the arm on my chair was broken, so that if you put any pressure on it, it would kind of give way and fall. And so I got Dan Benedictus, I believe it was Dan Benedictus from downstairs in the office, said, Dan, could you come up and film me falling off this chair? And so I sort
With a
of
name
did...
like that, he deserves a lot better as well, by the way.
He's a magnificent man, as Dan. And he and I leaned on the side that was going to break, and I fucking stacked it. And it is the best video I've ever made. The best bit of work ever. I've been in radio. I was in radio for like 15 years, and I've been doing podcasts for that same amount of time, etc. And I just sort of look at that and I sort of go, that is the best thing I will ever do. That will be played at my funeral, if indeed I get one, if I've not done something dreadful.
Why would you not get one? That's just so depressing.
What if I'd done something terrible?
You still get a funeral. I'm not saying it'd be well attended, but you still get one. People are just going to leave you lying on the slab and go, he's a terrible bloke, we're just leaving him here. That's a problem for them. No. You're making it worse.
No one's going to bother with it. Yeah, but if you're a terrible person, no one's going to turn it with a PowerPoint camera, are they? To PowerPoint projector.
What I'm saying is, you just said... at my funeral, if I get one, if anything, they're going to bury you quicker.
They'll be buried at sea like Osama bin Laden. They won't tell anyone where I've gone.
Did we talk about this last week? I said I wanted to be hitting a Viking ship, and you said you wanted something horrific. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, that's about enough time for this Easter Monday show. I think we should wrap it up there, but we will be back on Thursday with more of your battery brands, more of your emails, more nonsense. I'm sure we can come up with something to talk about, Pete. We normally can. Won't be anything to do with a Florida man masturbating with a gringo's jalapeno. So that's all good, but do stick around for Thursday's episode. It'll be out first thing Thursday. Do leave us a review as well, wherever you get your pods. It does help us a great deal, and do keep your correspondence coming in. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email, @lukeandpeteshow is the Instagram and the Twitter. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Thanks to everyone who emailed in, much appreciated. Enjoy your sunny day, and we'll see you on Thursday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.